Yeah, welcome to Sound Advice, and what a banger we've got today. 1991, this album was out in a big year. It just had the collapse of the Soviet Union and the Berlin Wall came down. And those former Soviet states, they started to immerse themselves in hard rock and thrash metal, which was perfect timing for this album, Metallica's Black Album. Now, Jack Johns is unavailable today. Apparently, he's got scouts on. It was delayed. But now, Benny, you're an expert on this album. And I referenced the collapse of communism to this album because Metallica played just about the first concert out of the Soviet times, the Monsters of Rock concert in Moscow. Almost 2 million people attended that concert.
Almost 2 million people. You can watch it on YouTube, which we've done this week, Matty. And it's one of those incredible things just to watch Metallica in front of, like, you know, you think about metal fans at concerts and they're quite wild, to think of 1.6 million Russians going in one nuts. Area going nuts.
Now, if we just push sideways a little bit on this, there's a podcast out called The Winds of Change. And he talks about that song by the Scorpions, Winds of Change, which came just before the wall came down.
Yep.
And just after the wall did come down, they started sending these American rock artists over there to sort of win over the former Soviet population. What was interesting about Winds of Change, there is a theory during that the CIA wrote that song and gave it to the East German band, the Scorpions, to encourage the wall to come down. They say it was, in a lot of ways, people believe it was the beginning of the end through rock and roll. Yeah.
I definitely don't think the CIA wrote Enter Sandman.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
I think it's a giant, this album was the start of hard rock and metal seeping into the mainstream in 1991. Like, before that, it was kind of like, you know, underground, it was the sideline sort of act.
Megadeth. Any kid you saw with Megadeth in a skateboard, steer clear.
Well, yeah, it's a funny thing. Parents always go, oh, don't listen to that Iron Maiden or that Black Sabbath or, you know, the Slayer bands. They're all evil. But Metallica, even though this was their fifth album, they came into 1991, they produced this more accessible, and it was the beast.
As my grandmother said, those guys from Slipknot, what nice young men. Benny, a question before we talk about the songs and the making of the album. Why the black frontage? Why just the bland black frontage?
Well, it was just like the album is known as the Black Album, but really it's self-titled. It's Metallica as the name of the album. But they just had the simple design, the simple black design, with obviously the small imprint of the coiled snake, which is part of the whole. There's a lot of imagery of the American Revolution in through the album. Don't Tread on Me, the flag that was waved by the American revolutionaries. So that sort of drips into this album. And so there was a simple black album, and so it's now known as the Black Album.
Yeah. Well, fits, doesn't it?
Well, there you go.
Dave, you're a Metallica fan.
Yes, love Metallica.
Yeah, right. Yep. Have you seen him in concert?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't had an opportunity. No. I actually thought one was on this album, but is
no,
that
one's no, on And Justice one. For All. Yeah, the one before this, which is very, very epic. It's prog, it's, you know, complex sort of riffs and stuff. This one is lean, mean,
fighting
modern.
Machine.
Yeah, lean, mean, fighting machine.
The big songs on this album, Betty?
You start with, you know, we had Enter Sandman there, you have Sad But True, you have Unforgiven, you have Wherever I May Roam. You have the classic ballad, which Metallica had never done before, which was Nothing Else Matters, which I think we have a clip there of. And nothing else matters.
Never care for what they do. The making of the album, Benny.
Yeah, well, that song there, Nothing Else Matters, like, that's probably, apart from End of Sandman, Nothing Else Matters is probably the song that we all know. Even if you're not a metal fan, even you're not really, you know, into any sort of guitar music, you probably know that song. Like, I know my wife loves that song. But apparently that song wasn't even going to make it. Hetfield wrote it, and James Hetfield, he went, this is crap. This is going to make Metallica fans vomit.
Yeah, right.
And the rest of the band heard it and said, no, this is going on. So when he sings that, apparently he was trying to, what's the word? He was inspired by Chris Isaac. He was trying to sing that like Chris Isaac.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay, this album, now it's a fifth studio album. The band at this point are about to go to international superstardom, right? Huge. Is this the beginning of the madness of Metallica?
Yes.
AKA the some kind of monster documentary.
Yeah, like up until this out, they had what is considered the, you know, they had Kill 'Em All, they had Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, Injustice for All, the big four albums. Like they were on a run. They made this for the pure metal fans. This was kind of like almost a softening of the band. You know, after this sort of made them explode after this album was, of course, the time when they cut their hair and came out as new age guys.
Right, there's a question. Was that, do you view the cutting of the hair, Dave, Ben, was that people, the fans saw it as a sellout? Did you think that?
It was a very confronting time. Right. I remember when that happened, and as a little, you know, young teenage metal fan, I was a little bit shocked. I wasn't a big fan of that album or what they were doing. But
so
hey,
did you cut your hair?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like James Hetfield with the short hair. Thought it makes him look quite dapper. Anyway, Shoot Shagger, I'll do that in a second. How was this album received?
This album, like the numbers are staggering. You know, 650,000 copies in its first release, which when you're talking 1991, 650,000 records sold in 1 week is incredible. Like that at that time is huge. There's an article here on Billboard, which is in 2001, the album celebrated its historic 500th week on the Billboard Top 200. So it was in the charts for 500 weeks. Eventually sold over 16 million copies and is the biggest selling album of the last quarter century.
Music is just about to enter into grunge and then go into
yep.
Britpop. Is this the apex of hard rock and thrash metal?
Yes. Yes. I think so. Because you had in that 80s and the 90s, you obviously had, as you mentioned before, Megadeth, Slayer, Metallica, Sepultura, like the big thrash bands. After this album, it sort of starts to, you know, tail away, the rise of new metal and other forms of metal like that.
Your genre, Dave? What sort of music is your...
Yeah, from into that, I grew up with the Nirvana, into Chili Peppers, into Foo Fighters.
Yep.
Through that period. I just read Dave Grohl's book, Foo Fighters, outstanding.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Seriously, to go from the drummer of one of the biggest rock bands in the world, Nirvana, to be the lead of the Foo Fighters, extraordinary story.
Are they all still alive?
Sorry?
Are they all still alive?
There was a bus accident where one of them died.
Oh, Metallica?
Yeah.
Cliff Burton, the bass player, died in the bus accident in Germany. So he was killed, and then this was
working?
The first album with the new.
But are they still
player.
Working now?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They're writing a new album right now.
If you get on YouTube and type in Howard Stern, just in Howard Stern's little studio, they do Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
And it's just like nearly blows the doors off the joint. It's an interesting, Dave, when you talk about where music went there. So we hit the junction, we sort of move into grunge music. Coming out of grunge, there seems to be a split in music. The American music goes into like Chili Peppers and, as you said, evolves into Foo Fighters, where English music takes a left-hand turn and goes into Oasis and Blur and Suede and all those great Britpop bands. What's your... Dave, you said you go the American route. What about yourself, Ben?
I totally with Dave. I was Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Nirvana. That was
you. Really were. A
that was
child.
Me.
You locked yourself.
Yeah, I locked myself in dark rooms. Listen to that.
Joey used to do the same thing. Joey, I kid you not. Here, he used to lock himself in his room and listen to Thriller.
Yeah.
Joey, what about you? You Britpop man or
Britpop?
Yeah. What's your Britpop Oasis number one?
Yeah.
Are they going to get back together again? What do you think?
Man's trying to get them back together. With Simon Moran, who's the biggest promoter in England, who owns the Warrington Wolves.
That's right.
And he said to me, I'm going to put them back. I'll be putting them back together. And I said, why? And he said, Because Liam's running out of money.
Mm. Is he?
How could you run
Didn't
out of
Liam,
money?
Liam's recently toured here, right?
Yeah, he did. Yes.
Joey, were you there? No. Front row?
Something Birds, was that?
No, no, that's Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Now, he came out his solo. He had BDI, and now he's evolved just to Liam Gallagher. Johnny Clegg, who's my producer on the Sunday Night Show and with Benny, he went. He's a Salford boy. He said it was a 21-song set.
Wow.
And 15 of them was Oasis. Oasis, really? There is nothing worse than turning up at a concert and people go, "Good everyone, here's a song off the new album." I went and saw Darryl Braithwaite one night and all he's going, "This is off the new album." Everyone's so, "Oh, no." And he goes, "Honestly, it's the best stuff I've ever done." So I went over and I got a napkin and wrote, "Summer Love, how's that? Rock Me Gently," and put him on the stage. And he goes, "Hang on a second. I really, does anyone listen to this old stuff?" Everyone was like, yes please. Ben, any other stuff in the album?
The best little fact that I liked was that the band started writing these shorter, simpler songs, more introspective sort of songs, purely because they looked out on their fans' faces during the concerts when they were playing these long, metal songs, and they saw how bored the fans looked. Bored. So they went, you know what, let's change direction here. And they came out with, these incredible set lists of songs.
Talking about getting bored, I went to Sydney Opera House and saw Dave Grohl acoustic, which when he was singing was outstanding. But he'd go on these 15-minute rants. I wrote this song, everyone's just going, "Oh, my God." And ended up people are heckling, going, "Just sing the song, mate." Ben, to you, I'll ask this question.
Yes.
Shoot, Shag or Marry? AC/DC, Metallica, Hootie and the Blowfish.
I would shag AC/DC because that would be a wild ride. I would marry Metallica because they're cashed up to the eyeballs.
Are you saying you'd shoot Hootie and the Blowfish?
I would. Yes, yeah. I would shoot Hootie. Hootie's gone.
Is he still alive, Hootie? How's he going?
I think their careers are dead.
Yeah, Hootie's still going.
Is he still going?
Yeah.
Do you marry Sheryl Crow? Oh, that's Lance Armstrong. We'll take a break. After the break, we're going to talk about pre-season army camps.